Today's daf is Tmura Daf Dalet. We're going to start at Gimel Amud Bet. Okay, let's just review very briefly. We saw at the very bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph this line that was said in the name of many people until we got to Rabbi Yochanan, who said in the name of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Any lo taseh in the Torah that doesn't have an action associated with it, one gets lashes. Okay? One doesn't get lashes. Except for, we said, there's a few exceptions to the rule. We saw nishba. We have a very long-winded thing to get to the conclusion. Number one, it means shvuat shav. Shvuat sheker. In vain. Okay? Useless and also wrong. Okay? Then we had nishba la sheker, which we explained after a while, that it can only be on Shelo achalti or she'achalti, something on the past and not on future, because on future, either you would actually do the act and it would be a maaseh, or you wouldn't do the act and that would be either a lav shem b'maaseh that you wouldn't get malka for, or it would be a lav without a hatra'at safek, it would be without a proper warning. And therefore, you wouldn't get lashes. So we said that was nishba. Meimar is tmura, that's our case. Mikalel chaveiro b'shem, we were in the middle of that one. And then the fourth was added by Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, who said, Afamakdim truma lebikurim. If you first separate truma before you separate bikurim, there's a special order, right? And it would also be if you did maser before truma, etc. Maser sheni before maser rishon, there's an order. Okay, so we're in the middle of the nishba. You swear, you curse your friend using, so we said, right, you curse your friend using God's name. That's Mekalel Chaviro B'Shem. We tried to suggest, how do we know? First we said, how do you know you get Malko? Because it says, Ve'yifal Hashem et Malkotcha, right? And it connected it to the Pasuk that we're commanded, Im lo tishmor, la'asot kol dvarei Torah hazot, li'yirat Hashem enichbad hanora hazeh. So the whole question is, how do we get to fear of God's name from there to cursing your friend in the name of God? So the first option was, maybe it just means any kind of swearing, to which we said, first of all, there are swears, the Torah sometimes tells us we need to swear, like with Shomer Sachar, we said, oh, that we could say is different, or maybe that weird line about, weird way of understanding it, which is, maybe it means you have to swear to Lefayeset Chavero, but you actually get Malkot. Okay, I thought about that line after. So we said there was two different ways of doing it. In other words, either you really have to do it, but anyway, you get malkot for it. It's even interesting, we didn't focus on it, but there's two things going on there. One is you're going to get lashes for something the Torah commands you to do, which seems strange. The other thing that's strange is that the Torah would encourage you to do something that, you know, maybe we shouldn't be doing in order lefayeset chavero. What is lefayeset chavero? It means to appease your friend, almost like it's not even a legal thing. It's to make peace with someone, right? So that they're not angry with you. And that's, what's the issue? You gave them something to watch. Something happened to it. They don't really trust you at this point. So the only way they're going to trust you and they'll feel like we can have a relationship again is to swear. And here it's basically saying, even though we don't really want to let you swear, we're going to let you do it for that reason, which is very fascinating.
Seems to go to a basic principle about how we treat each other and how we want to interact.
Right, and how we want, right, exactly, how we want future interactions to be. We don't want this person to be holding a grudge against you forever, thinking all the time that maybe you lied to him and didn't take care of his item properly. And also, he paid you, so all the more so, you know, it would be an issue. Okay, anyway, food for thought. We said the Ramban said there's two different things. One is, Lefayeset Chaviro, we allow it, but in other situations, you would get Malko for it. Other cases where we don't need it, you would get Malko, which seemed like a better interpretation. Then we said, oh no, but it says Ushmoti Shava. Then we said, no, you need that in order to lekayem et mitzvah, which I said I would look further into. So it seems that the situation is you're concerned you're not going to do a mitzvah. It's not like mushba va'omed, but where, you know, you can't take a shvuah on something you're already commanded to do. What you're basically doing is, because you're worried you're not going to necessarily keep a mitzvah, so you make a shvuah to make sure that you actually keep the mitzvah. Okay, I don't know what a good example would be, but you kind of, in case you're worried, maybe I won't end up doing it, so you swear beforehand so that l'zarezot chalas ha-mitzvah kind of thing. You know, we want to push you to make sure you actually do it. Then we said, but still, there's another mention where it says Yishmoti Shabbat, so obviously it can't be a regular, any kind of shvuat emet. So therefore, it must be l'mkalel chavero b'shem. But then they say, wait a minute, but there's something in between those two. Ve'ema l'motzi shem shamayim l'batala. Okay, so we know it's not shvuat emet. That we've already established is allowed. Okay? We know that, right, we're assuming l'kalel et shmo chavero b'shem is pretty bad, right, using God's name to curse your friend. But then we say maybe it's something in between. What would be the in between? Motzi shem shamayim levatala. Okay, using God's name in vain. Maybe that's what it means when it says, again, what are the words on the pasuk? You have to lir'ah et Hashem anichba v'anoah. You have to fear the name of God, so don't just use it in vain. That sounds like a pretty good answer. Well, if that's the case, so then what are we saying? Motzi shem shamayim levatala will get malkot, and not shvuat emet, that obviously, because that's allowed. Okay? And not l'kalel et chavero b'shem. Well, now we have a bit of a problem. If we view motzi shem shamayim levatala, and that you're going to get malkot for, so something worse, you're not going to get malkot, that would be a little weird. So they're going to say, right, because what's the assumption? The assumption, if we didn't have this exception to the rule, we would say you don't get malkot for it, because it's an exception, it's a lav she'en bo maaseh. So now they're going to say, if you say it's the motzi shem shamayim levatala, mi garam mekalel et chavero b'shem, mi motzi shem shamayim levatala, right, mekalel et chavero b'shem, isn't it worse than motzi shem shamayim levatala? In which case, you're going to say, you get malkot from motzi shem shamayim levatala, but lekalel et chavero b'shem, lo, right, en malkot, right? That doesn't make any sense. So they say, no, no, no. Anan hachi kakashilan. This is what we're suggesting. Ema motzi shem shamayim levatala, tiz gele b'malkot. It's sufficient to get malkot for that. Aval mekalel chavero b'shem. Now, it's going to, what are we going to basically say? Malkot isn't enough. Why would a malkot be enough? Because you've actually done two things wrong by cursing your friend in the name of God. What have you done? You've used God's name in vain. And you've done something against your friend. So you've upset your friend. So therefore, maybe you'd say, Malkot, not that you don't get Malkot, but Malkot isn't enough. You're going to need something more than just Malkot. Okay, maybe that's what it's saying. So then they say, Lo matzit amra. You can't say that. Why? So now they're going to basically say, not because Malkot isn't enough, but they're basically going to say, it can't be that you get Malkot for Motzi Shem Shamayim Levatala. Why not? We have a concept that in order to, we're going to get into a whole bunch of concepts about punishments, and Lav Shem B'masa, Lav Nitakla, say all different kinds of things. The first thing is, Ein Nanashim Elen Kein Masirim. You can't get punished unless the Torah warned you, not just you got a warning, Hatra'ah, but the Torah has to say in any particular place, it's forbidden to do this. Okay? Now, here it just says, if you do this, you'll get punished. But it doesn't actually say anywhere, asur lasot. Usually you need either lo, al, pen, some sort of word that tells you this is forbidden. If you remember the arayot, for example, appear in two prakim. One is all the things you can't do, and the other is, if you do this, you will get the following punishment. So lots of times we have, you know, generally you have to have an azhara, a warning. So now they're going to say like this. Dichtiv lo tekalel cheresh. It says you can't curse a deaf person. What's the difference between cursing a deaf person? No. This is a good question. The Gemara is going to assume it's worse to curse a regular person than a deaf person. You might think it's worse to curse a deaf person because they don't even know you're cursing them and it's even worse. But what it's basically saying is no. If you can't curse a deaf person who doesn't even hear your curse and doesn't get upset, we just saw what was bad about cursing your friend, your mitzar lachavre. If you curse someone deaf and they don't hear you, they don't even know you're cursing them, you're not actually hurting them personally. They're not embarrassed by it, even though it might embarrass them, but they don't know. What they don't know kind of won't hurt them. That's what we say. So if it says don't curse a deaf person, obviously you can't curse someone who's going to hear what you're saying to them. So Iyamark Bishlama Lakalelet Chaveiro, if you want to say that this punishment is cursing your friend, Azharte Mehacha, then we have a good warning for it. We have a pasuk that matches it. Dichtiv lo tekalel cheresh. We could say the lo tekalel cheresh includes not cursing anybody. There you're warned, here you're punished. Perfect. Ela Iyamark Motzi Shem Shamayim Levatala, Azharte Mehecha. We don't have any place where we have a warning not to use God's name in vain. It never says, don't use God's name in vain. Okay, it does say, lo tisat shem Hashem l'shav, but that's shvuat shav. That's swearing in the name of God. That's not just saying shem Hashem without purpose. So now they say, what do you mean? It doesn't say anywhere. Alama lo, what do you mean? It doesn't, there's no warning. V'haktiv, doesn't it say, et Hashem Elokecha tira avoto tavod? And they learn from et Hashem Elokecha tira means, fear God means don't be motzi shem shamayim for no reason. So there you have it. What do they answer? Oh no, hahu azharat asehu. That's a mitzvah, a positive. Right? Et Hashem Elkecha Tira means you should fear God. There's no lo pen al hishamer. Right? It doesn't say don't do something. It says do something. From that you can understand don't do something, but you can't use that as a warning. There's rules about a warning has to have some sort of negative negative word in it. And this doesn't. So therefore, we're left with, this is how we prove that it's not Motzi Shem Shamayim Levatala, because there's no warning pasuk. And because there's no warning pasuk, it can't possibly be that the Torah would be giving a punishment for someone that was never warned. And therefore, it must be lekalel et chavero b'shem, where our warning is lo tekalel chiresh. Okay? Tov. Now we're moving to the last part of that statement that we saw before. Mishum Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina Amru, they added a fourth, ach hamakdim truma lebikurim. Okay, soon we're going to see that maybe it's not actually a fourth, maybe it means something different. When he says, notice his words, he says, ach hamakdim truma lebikurim, even someone who gives truma before bikurim, even what? It's not clear. Okay, it doesn't say even he gets malkot. Now what we assume it means, even he gets malkot, because what do we say? It's a lav shein bo maaseh. We give two possibilities. Either we say it's a lav shein bo maaseh because you're separating, you're calling something truma before you call them, before you separate the bikurim, but you're not, even though you're separating them, you're not actually doing an act. It's not considered an act, just designating it as sanctified. Or we do view that actually as an act. And we saw, I think it was Rabbeinu Gershom who said that it's specifically when you're when you do it b'machshavan, you can be mafresh truma in your head, and that's the case we're talking about. In your mind, you say, that's going to be my truma, and if you do that in your mind, that's going to be a lav shein bo maaseh, but if you actually did it physically, it would be a maaseh. There's a debate about it. Anyway, Mishum Rabbi Yossi, so by the way, the fact that this could sort of be, it's not so clear, is going to allow us also to play with this a little bit. So, my time, what's the reason? To Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Kra, the pasuk says, "Meleatcha v'dimacha lo ta'achir." Here's our pasuk. You're not allowed to delay, which means really, what's meleatcha v'dimacha? Meleatcha is your bikurim, okay? Because they're full, like your full harvest. That's where you take the bikurim from. Dimacha is a reference to truma. There's a debate exactly why this connects to truma, but they call truma bidimua, which is like if you have a mixture, shimadamat. It's actually weird because they use the lashon of chachamim to prove what a word in the Torah means, even though sometimes the rabbis use different terminology, but there's a bunch of other reasons given.
Hazorim bedima.
Hazorim bedima, yafe. Nachan, okay, that's right. Okay. Okay, so meleatcha v'dimacha lo ta'acher, which means your bikurim and your truma, you can't delay, which means you can't delay giving your bikurim by doing truma first. You can't delay doing your truma by bringing maaser first. Okay, there's an order. So mele'azo elu bikurim v'dimacha elu truma. V'amra lo ta'acher, so that proves you can't do one before the other. That's the lo ta'aseh. Itmar. Now we're going to see there's a machloket tana'im about this case, which actually was pretty obvious to us because only he added it, which means other people obviously didn't add it. But it's going to get a little bit tricky because we're going to have one of those cases where they say there's a debate between two people. We don't know who said what. Okay, that's not going to be so hard in this case because we know who said what because we have it explicit. But it's going to get more complicated. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Chad amar loke, v'chad amar eno loke. So we have this machloket about hikdim truma l'bikurim. One said you get malkot, one said you don't get malkot. We don't know who said what. Obviously, what's the Gemara going to start with? Well, even we know this. Tistayim always means when they don't know who says what, we're going to assume, we can conclude that what? To Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, who damar loke? Right? How do we know he says loke? Mida amar, what we saw in yesterday's talk. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina said, ach hamakdim truma lebikurim, and the assumption is, right, you get malko, because there was the list of all these lav shein bo maaseh that you don't generally get malko for, but there's a few that you do that are exceptions to the rule, and he added a fourth. That must mean he means you get malko, so that's pretty obvious. You would think, why has the Gemara been telling you this? Well, they are because the Gemara asks us, what do you mean? Adraba. The actual reverse is true. Tistayim derabi elazar udamra loke. But we see from another Mishnah, that and Rabbi Elazar's comment on the Mishnah, that Rabbi Elazar holds that you get malkot for this, for switching the order. Okay? And therefore, we're now stuck, because we have one said malkot, one said no malkot, and it seems like we have sources to prove that both said you get malkot. So now we're going to be stuck. So first we have to see where Rabbi Elazar says this. Ditna. The Mishnah says, Hayu lefanav shtei kilkalot shel tevel. You have two baskets of fruit. Vamar. Okay, imagine these are your two baskets. I meant to bring baskets of fruit to make it easier, but I forgot. So you have your two baskets of fruit here. Okay? Now, they're both fruits. They're teva. Truman and Masrot have not been taken. Vamar. We're now going to have three cases of what he says. This is a mission in Demai. Masir shalzo bezo. Now, generally, what would you do? You take from the fruits here and take masir on those fruits. And you take the fruits from here and take masir on those. But in this case, you decided to be creative. I don't know why. But you took fruits from one basket and said, this is masir for the other basket. Okay?
Assuming they were the same fruits.
Yeah, assuming they have to be the same fruits. And what else do they have to be that we learned? They both have to be chayav on the same level, right? In other words, one is, let's say,
the same time.
They have to be, you can only do mina chayav ala chayav or mina patur ala patur. Patur would mean, you know, patur midoraita, chayav midorabanan. But you can't do from ones that were already taken truman amasrot on ones that have not yet been taken truman amasrot. So now, if you say maser shalzo bezo, so, okay, let's say you take from the second one and you're mafresh a few fruits and say that's going to cover my first basket. So, harishonam u'seret, that works. I can take fruits from here and say that's going to take care of those. Okay. But you're not, just, I want to be clear, you're not doing truma on the ones in the second basket. You're only taking a few from there and designating as maser or truma on the first basket. Okay? You're not taking care of the second one yet. What if you say shalzo bezo? I'm going to take from the second basket on the first, and then I'm going to take from the first basket on the second. Well, that's a problem because, right? So what will happen? When you do from the second onto the first, that'll work. Like we just said, harishonah mu'useret. But hashniyah einah mu'useret. But the second basket that you're trying to take truma from the first basket onto the second, you've already taken truma to masrot on the first basket. This first basket is no longer tevel. It's now patur. It's not chayav in masrot. So therefore, if you take from these fruits and try to do maser on the fruits in the second basket, which are all chayav in masrot because you didn't take care of them yet, that can't work. Okay? But if you said masrotehem ma'aser kilkala b'chaverta, if you say at the same moment I'm going to take right now from A to B and from B to A and you take them all at the same moment, that works because at that moment they're all chayavim. Okay? So that would work. Karat Hashem. You've called it ma'aser. It works. It's effective. Okay. So far so good. V'itmar. Now on that Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar came and said loke. You get malkot on that. When you take, okay, let's take case number one. Okay, even the simplest case. I take from basket B, and I take all my maser on basket A. I do my maser rishon, I do my maser sheni. Now, what's the problem? When I take from maser sheni, when I take from the second basket, the maser sheni, I'm basically taking fruits from this basket, and taking care of the master on a different basket, taking care of the master sheni, before I've taken the master rishon on that basket itself. So basically, I'm magdim master sheni. What would I basically do in this case? I take a few fruits from basket B and use it to take care of basket A. And then later, I'll take some fruits from basket B and I'll do truman master on the rest of what's in basket B. But I can't do that because I've already done master sheni before I've done master rishon on here. The way I thought in my head, it's like saying, you have to take care of your own basket before you start taking care of the others, right? Even though theoretically you could do master rishon, that would have been fine. But since you went to master sheni, you can't go to master sheni there before you do master rishon here. So what do you see, he holds? If you're magdim one to the other, you get lashes. Here on basket B, you were magdim master sheni to master rishon. And therefore, right, the master sheni of basket A, you were magdim to the basket, to the master sheni here, to the master rishon in basket B. So now, what does it seem obvious? If he says you get malkot on that, to stayim, right? Must be, he must hold that you get lashes on doing the truma before the bikurim or doing master sheni before master rishon. So now, we have a bit of a problem because both opinions seem to say that. So if you're going to say, it's clear Rabbi Elazar is the one who holds that, then you're going to go back to Ela Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Damar, Eino Loke. So then Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina is going to be the one who says you don't get lashes. Lema kasha de Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, de Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. So now these two statements seem to contradict. It seems like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina says both, but you get lashes in our situation, you know, in what we saw yesterday. And here, he doesn't. So what do they say? Lo. Let's reinterpret. I kind of alluded to this earlier. Let's reinterpret what he said at the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph. Lo, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, apturakai. He was referring, when he said, even hamakdim chumala bikurim, what was he referring to? The fact, the sentence said two things. It said, any lav she'en bo ma'aseh, you're pacha from malkot, other than the following three things. We thought that he meant to say, and there's an additional fourth that you get lashes for. They're going to say, no, no, no. And even, and now we understand why you have to say even, it's even considered a lav she'en bo ma'aseh that you don't get lashes for if you're makdim chumala bikurim. And that goes back to our whole question, which is, well, we weren't sure anyway where to put this. Is this a ma'aseh? Is it not a ma'aseh? And what he's basically saying is, being makdim chumala bikurim is not an actual action, and therefore it falls into the classic category of lav she'en bo ma'aseh that you don't get lashes for. Okay, v'hachi kamar, now we'll read it inside. This is how you should read the line. Lav she'en bo ma'aseh ein lokin alav. And then they skip the rest, which says, except for in the following cases. And then, Mishum Rabbi Yossi Bar B'Chanin Amru, Af HaMakdim Truma LeBikurim. Even Makdim Truma LeBikurim would be a Lav She'en Bo Ma'aseh that you don't get lashes for. Now they're going to say, wait a minute. Makdim Truma LeBikurim, and we said this before, is not so different from Tmura. Because what's Tmura? You're basically saying, I'm designating this animal to have kedusha. It's like saying, I'm designating these fruits to have sanctity to them. It's the same kind of thing, where there's no real act associated with it. You're just calling a name to something, and maybe you're separating it also with the animal. You're taking this animal physically, and you're putting him here. You're saying, by the way, this animal, I want to be my korban instead of this one. So is it an act? Is it not an act, right? So what did we say? Umayshna meymar delake. Why is tmura? Why do you get lashes on it? Mishum dibidiburo asa ma'aseh. Because his words actually caused an action, right? You caused kedusha to be chal on this new animal. So makdim truma lebikurim nami lilke. Mishum dibidiburo asa ma'aseh. Same thing with taking the truma before the bikurim. It's effective, right? No one says it's not effective. You're not allowed to do it, but it is effective. You've actually done a ma'aseh. So theoretically, you should get lashes for it. So now we're stuck. Because what did we say? In order to explain this whole thing about the Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina disagreement, do you get lashes, do you not get lashes? We said the Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina must say, you don't get lashes, right? And then we said, well, if you don't get lashes, why not? We assumed why. Well, in connection with the statement, it said, lav she'en bo ma'aseh, and all he's saying is, it's a lav she'en bo ma'aseh. But now we just said, but if tmura is considered a maaseh, then this should also be a maaseh. So this can't be a lav she'en bo ma'aseh. So now we have to understand, why did Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina say there's no malkot in this case? Must be for a different reason. Amar Rabbi Avin, shane hatam de lav shenitak la'asehu. This is not a lav she'en bo ma'aseh, it's a lav shenitak la'aseh. What's a lav shenitak la'aseh? It's a lo ta'aseh that has a correction with a positive commandment. Meaning, we'll give the classic example that they usually bring, which we're going to see later in the daf. Notar. We talked about this 2 days ago. What's notar? If you're supposed to eat the korban within a particular time frame, if you don't eat the korban within that particular time frame and you leave it over, what does it tell you? Whatever's left, you have to burn. It's got some sort of corrective element to it. Okay. Mitziot is also a good case. You're not allowed to ignore. If you find something on the floor, you can't ignore it, right? Lo tuchal litalem. And it says, hashev tishivim. You have to return it. Okay, there's a whole bunch like that. All those lotas says, you don't get malkot for them. It's a lav anitak la'aseyu. Okay, so now, how is hakdamat shumah lebikurim? Okay, we saw the lotas say, which is, mele'atcha v'dimachal lo ta'acher. You can't do it out of order. Where's the aseh? Tichtiv mikol ma'asrotechem tarimu. Okay? This is told to the Levim. Mikol ma'asrotechem tarimu et kol trumat Hashem mikol chabo mikdasho mimenu. They have to also take, when they get maser, right, the Levi gets a tenth of the Yisrael's portion, they have to give truma from there. But what do they learn from this line? Mikol ma'asrotechem tarimu. This is a little bit out of order. Usually it's first truma, then maser. So they say that this is an aseh to tell you, even if you messed up and you did it out of order, you could still take the truma from the maser. Okay, so if you separate a maser first, you can take truma after that. Okay, they understand it, not kipshuto, but they understand that that is a reference to fixing this problem. So now he comes and says, that's why you don't get lashes, because it's lav hanitak laseh. Okay, now there's a bit of a problem, because Look, okay, now, what does this mean? It basically means we reread this line, so I'm going to read the line one more time, on Daf Gimel. What does it say? Kol lo ta'aseh shebatorah asava maaseh loker, lo asava maaseh patur, right? You did an action, you get malchut. You didn't do an action, you don't. Chutz minishmah meimar makalach chavero b'shem, I'm going to put that in parentheses right now, except for a few exceptions. Comes Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanin, and he adds, right? Mishum Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanin amru, af hamakdim truma lebikurim. Even one who is makdim truma to bikurim. Now, what is he saying according to this? Even what? Even you get lashes? Now, you would assume, if you're going to already say, it's referring to the beginning of that line, because it's a lav she'en bo maaseh. Now we're saying, basically, he's coming and throwing in something out of left field entirely. He's throwing in a lav ani tak laaseh. Even in this case, you get lashes. You would get lashes because it's a lav ani tak laaseh, which seems a little weird. If the whole subject was lav she'en bo maaseh, how does he morph into that? So it could be, right, it's a difficult question. It could be what they're trying to say is, even though this isn't a lav she'en bo maaseh, but it might, it's because it's a little not clear what a lav she'en bo, is this a lav she'en bo maaseh? Is it not? Maybe they're kind of saying he's coming to say this would be another example. Again, it's a little bit difficult. Actually, I just thought of another possibility. You know, when at some point, obviously, people didn't know who said which statement. And if you notice, the wording in this is, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina Amru, Mishum Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina Amru. Maybe they got confused because they had the statement, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, one says loke, one doesn't. Maybe it actually does mean you get malkot, and it's an exception. And but anyway, it's, you know, what really happened and what the Gemara assumes is might be something different. So anyway, they end saying what he really meant was you get lashes, you don't get lashes because it's a lav ani tak laaseh. And again, it's not coming to add a fourth exception. It's actually part of the rule, but it's not exactly part of the rule because the rule was about a lav she'en bo maaseh, and this is about a lav ani tak laaseh. Now they're going to ask a little bit further about this. Yatev Rav Dimi b'ka'amar la lahashmata. So he sat and told them this halacha. And Amar Le Abaye, wait a minute. Okay, what did he teach? He taught that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, said it's not chayav because of lav ani tak laaseh. Amar Le Abaye, Abaye says to Rav Dimi, v'chol lav shenitak laaseh lo lake. Is it true that every time you have a lav ani tak laaseh, you don't get malkot? And what does he bring up? Our case, tmura. V'ha meimar, tmura, de lav ani tak laasehu v'lake. It's a lav ani tak laaseh, and you get lashes. How is it a lav ani tak laaseh? Well, look at the pasuk. What does it say? Lo yachlifenu velo yamir oto. There you have your lo taaseh. Tov b'ra'o ra b'tov. Ve'im hamer yamir behema v'behema v'ayahu t'morato kodesh. But if you do it, just like notar, if you leave it over by esh tisrofu, if you do it, it becomes sanctified. Okay? So that's also a lav ani tak laaseh. It's ditznan, and how do we know, and you get malkot. How do we know you get malkot? Because of our Mishnah. Lo shadam rashay lahamir, right now, that you're allowed to. Ela she'im himir mumar. But if he did, it's effective. V'sofegatar ba'im. So what do you see? You get lashes for it. So if we're going to assume any lavani tafla say, you don't get malkot, well then, where does tmura fall? Isn't it a lavani tafla say? So what's the answer? It's a little bit different. Why? Havele tre lave v'chad ase. There's two lo tases. Now this goes back to when we started the parak. What did we say? We started the masechet. The Mishnah says sofegat arba'im. We talked about there was a machloket. Do you really get our? Does sofegat arba'im just mean you get lashes? Not exactly how many you get, or does it mean you get 40 and not 80? Because why did some people think maybe you get 80? Because it says lo yachlifenu v'lo yamiroto. There's two lo tases in that pasuk. Okay, so even if you say you don't get 80, still, you would say there's still two lishonot of lo taaseh, which are only corrected by chad aseh, right? There's, in order to have a lav ani tak laaseh, the lav has to correct the aseh. I'm sorry, the aseh has to correct the lav. You can't have an aseh that corrects two lo taasehs. So therefore, lo ate chad aseh va'akar tre laveh. You can't have one aseh overturning both lavs, and therefore you get lashes, because you still, let's say, even this would explain maybe why you get 40, even if you have two low tases, because you have two lavim, one ase, comes one ase, and knocks out one low tase, but you're still left with the low tase, and that's why you're going to get lashes. Okay? So, that resolves that. But now, we have a further question. So you're going to now assume that every time there's one ase and one low tase, the ase corrects the low tase, we're basically going to say you don't get lashes. We're going to show you a case. Even now, the assumption here is not every time can the aseh correct the lo taseh. Sometimes there's exceptions where okay, we'll see an exception right now where the aseh can't correct the lo taseh. But you could still it's in the category of a lav ani tach laaseh, because in a theoretical plane, even though practically it can't be fixed in this case, but since there's an aseh that corrects the lo taseh, we're going to assume you don't get lashes, even if you can't do the positive fulfillment of that, you know, correction. So what's the case? Ones, we have someone who rapes a woman. Okay, he rapes a woman who's not married yet, or not betrothed to anyone. So what happens in that case? Remember, it's that very difficult pasuk that the Torah tells you, you have to marry her. V'lo tiyeh li'isha. She has to, right? No. She can say, okay, this is always hard in our modern eye, what are you, a rapist, you're going to want to marry someone who rapes you? But in those days, it was, you know, a woman who was raped was a real problem. Nobody would want to marry her, or it would be much more difficult. And actually, it would be more protection for her to actually have the rapist marry her. Now, she can always opt out, by the way. She can always say, I don't want to marry my rapist. But his responsibility is to marry her. Okay, the other thing you could say about this is that maybe the reason for it is to deter people from raping women, because once you marry someone, you're responsible for them. You have to pay for their food, their clothing, their housing. You know, maybe you don't really want, you know, maybe you'll think twice before raping a woman if you know that you're going to end up having to marry her. So it could be it was a deterrent also. In any case, what's the situation here? It says, V'lo tiyeh li'isha, lo v'chavav, he's supposed to marry her. And then it says, lo yuchal shalcha kol yamav. He can't ever divorce her. Okay, so here you have the reverse order. Usually it's you can't do something, and here's the correction. Here, first, the lo taseh comes after, but it's basically, it doesn't really matter. Lav ani tach laaseh could be out of order. He's not allowed to divorce her ever. She has to stay married to him. Lo tiyeh li'isha is the correction. So here's our case. Hare ones, a rapist. Dechad lav achad aseh. Okay, we just showed there's one lav and there's one aseh. Velo ate chad aseh va'akar lav. And in fact, we see that the aseh doesn't uproot the lav because there is a situation. Now again, this is going to be a situation where it can't be corrected, but since it's still in the category of potentially in other cases it could be corrected, we're going to see you still get lashes. And that's going to disprove lav ani tach laaseh doesn't get malkot, because here we're going to see you do get lashes. Which case would you get lashes? So let's read the two options. Ones shegeresh, ditanya, ones shegeresh. Here's a braita. A rapist who divorces his wife. So what's he supposed to do at this point? So theoretically, he can correct it. What can he do? He can remarry her. Im Yisrael hu machzir. He can return her, right? He can remarry her. If he did divorce her, even though he's not allowed to, he can correct it by marrying her. And therefore, ein olokeh. That's classic lav ani tach laaseh. Ve'im kohen hu, but if he's a kohen, what's the problem? Kohen can't be machzir grushato. He can't marry a divorcee, even his own divorcee. So therefore, im kohenu lo keve eino machzir, he gets malkot and he doesn't return her. So what do you see? Even though you can't be mekayem na'aseh here, still, because he's not allowed to remarry her, still, it's a lav ani tach laaseh, theoretically, and he shouldn't get lashes for it. So why does he get lashes? So here this seems to disprove lav ani tach laaseh doesn't get lashes. So what does the Gemara say? Kohanim kamarta, kohanim tamachrinahu, de rabbi rachmana kedushi yatera. Kohanim are just a total exception to the rule. They get lashes, and this is interesting to connect this to lashes. They get lashes because they're on a higher level of kedusha. Okay, we know the Kohanim are called kedushim, and they therefore are going to get punished for this if they do this. Okay, meaning it's a whole separate reason. It's not because of the lo taseh. They get it for a different reason. It's interesting that having kedusha yatera would cause you to get lashes. What the connection is, I'm not 100% clear, but they say exception to the rule. Don't use that to prove anything. Now they're going to talk about this. Now we're going back. That was all a lav ani tach laaseh. Now we're going to still relate to lav ani tach laaseh, but the real subject here is lav she'en bo maaseh. And we're going to show that lav she'en bo maaseh, okay, we actually saw this before, do you get lashes or don't you get lashes, is a machloket tana'im. Okay, so our subject now is lav she'en bo maaseh. I want to be clear, because we are also going to talk about lav ani tach laaseh, but the real thing is here to say that some people say lokin and some people say ein lokin on a lav she'ein bo ma'aseh.
We're discussing, like, going back to the beginning, lav she'ein bo ma'aseh.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're back to it. We're circling back. We got off track because we had to explain Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, and in order to explain his statement in connection with Rabbi Elazar's statement and all that, was to say the reason why he says you get lashes here, is because it's a lavani taklaseh. From there, we got off on a tangent of lavani taklaseh. Is it really true you never get lashes? And they proved, yes, it really is true you don't get lashes. And now we're back to a lav she'ein bo ma'aseh. But in the context of that, they're also going to discuss lavani taklaseh. That's why I wanted to make it clear. So kitanites, machloket tana'im, do you get lashes or not for a lav that has no action associated with it? Lo yesh iru mimenu ab boker. This is notar. You can't leave it till the morning. Ba katuv liten aseh achar lo taseh. Okay? The Torah came to give you an aseh after lo taseh. Meaning, because what's the aseh? The aseh is lo totir mimenu ab boker. That's the lo taseh. Vahanotar mimenu ab boker ba'esh tisrofu. Whatever's left till the morning should be burned. So, what did I say? Why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why did it specifically tell you have to burn it? Lomar she'en lokin alav, to teach you don't get malchut, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So now, the subject of this debate is going to be notar. Is notar alav hanitak laaseh? Okay, everyone's going to agree that you don't get malchut for it. The question is, why? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's because it's alav hanitak laaseh. According to Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Lomen Hashem Uze, it's not because of the name Lav Anitak Laaseh, Ela Mishum Dehavile Lav She'en Bo Ma'aseh. It's a lav that has no action associated with it. Now, if you were a person and you were looking at notar, right? What's notar? You just leave it over, you don't eat it. That would seem, if I had to choose Lav Anitak Laaseh or Lav She'en Bo Ma'aseh, which would you choose? Lav She'en Bo Ma'aseh, because it's obviously a lav that has no action associated with it. So, the fact that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say it's patur because of lav she'en bo ma'aseh, but it's patur because the lav anitak laaseh must be because what? It must be because he holds a lav she'en bo ma'aseh lokin alav. Okay? So let's just read it. So Rabbi Yaakov again said, it's mishum davi lav she'en bo ma'aseh, v'chol lav she'en bo ma'aseh in lokin alav. So michlal, from here one can infer that what? To Rabbi Yehuda savar lokin alav, he must say you do get malkor on alav, lav she'en bo ma'aseh. And because of that, he called no tara lav anitak laaseh. Okay? Otherwise, he would have just said, you're right, it's a lav she'en bo ma'aseh and lokin, and he wouldn't argue with Rabbi Yaakov. Now, what about Rabbi Yaakov? Why doesn't he think this is a lav anitak laaseh? So Rabbi Yaakov, hai vahanotar mimenu aboker ba'esh tisrofu l'may ata. Again, now we're going to have the words, hanotar mimenu ba'esh tisrofu, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what's it coming to do? It's coming to say, it's a lav anitak laaseh. But according to Rabbi Yaakov, who doesn't need us to say it's a lav anitak laaseh because it's already exempt from a lav she'en bo ma'aseh, so what does he do with those words? He needs it for the following Mishnah in Pesachim. Now, Pesachim, what happens? You bring a Korban Pesach on the 14th in the afternoon, you shecht it, right? You're supposed to eat it that night. Right? That's what we eat, Korban Pesach, the night of Pesach. And you have the whole next day to finish eating it. And you're supposed to burn it. Right, 1 second. Is that true? You're actually supposed to eat the whole thing at night? The issue is, though, that you can't burn it the next day. Okay? In other words, theoretically, then, I guess it should be burned that next morning.
But you can't cut it.
Right, so already the morning of the 15th, it's notar. And really, you're supposed to burn it. But you can't burn it on the 15th because it's chag. So what do? You burn it. Hanotar mimenu. Right? Ad boker ba'esh. So here it says, lo totiru mimenu ad boker. What we're going to notice here is it says, don't leave it over till the morning. Vanotar mimenu ad boker ba'esh tisrofu. Now, why does it say boker again? It could have just said, vanotar mimenu ba'esh tisrofu. So comes Rabbi Yaakov. What is he? Rabbi Yaakov would say, this is what you use it for. It's actually not Rabbi Yaakov who says it. So here's the Mishnah. Tzamo bagidim vanotar. But all the different parts that are left over, yisrofu. B'shishasar. You burn them when? On the 16th. You can't burn them on the 15th because it's chag. Chal shisha asar liyop b'shabbat. What if the 16th is Shabbat? Yisrafu b'shiv asar l'fisha ein dochin lo at ha-shabbat v'lo at ha-yom tov. So you can't burn on the 16th because it's chag. You can't burn on the 17th in that case because that case would be Shabbat following chag. You wouldn't be able to burn it on Shabbat. Amar Chizkiah v'chein tanet b'chizkiah. And Chizkiah says where it was taught from his family, the house of Chizkiah, a braita. My taima. Amarkra vanotar mimenu aboker ba'esh tisrofu ba katuv litein boker sheni lisrefato. The reason it says boker twice is to teach you it's not that boker, it's the next boker, or potentially, right, two mornings really later. Okay, so that's what he does with that pasuk, finished. Now we're going to start a new topic, even though it's the end of the daf, but we're going to just, I'll get you started on it, and tomorrow, we'll pick up tomorrow with a slew of questions on this. It's fascinating, machlok between Rav and Abaye. Amar Abaye, kol milta da amar rachmana lo ta'avid. Every time the Torah says, don't do something, im avid mehani. If you do it, it's effective. Okay, now, you have to realize that we're not talking about killing someone. Obviously, it was effective. You killed the person. Or eating something you're not allowed to eat, you ate it. Okay, we're talking about, let's say, you did something forbidden, like took the truma before the bikurim, or did tmura. Okay, all these cases where you do something that you're not allowed to do, where theoretically, one could just say, maybe it's not effective. What's the classic case? You're mekadesh a woman that you're not allowed to marry. You betroth a woman, let's say a man betroths his sister. It's not allowed. We saw this the other day, right? Are the ma'ot matana or not, right? Did we view the... So let's say he betroths his sister. Now one might say, maybe it's not effective at all, right? And it's usher to do, and therefore, he's not actually betrothed to her. Or do you say it's effective? So what does Abaye say? Abaye says, anytime the Torah says don't do something, if you do it, it is effective. What's his proof? If you think it's not effective, amai lake, then why should you get malkut? If a man betroths his sister, and it doesn't actually do anything, well then maybe he shouldn't get lashes, because what's important? Did something actually happen? And since we say, if we would say it's not effective, then we would say, well, you can't get lashes because you didn't actually affect change in any way.
So would it be warned not to do it if by doing it you didn't do anything?
Right.
It's such an empty thing that there would be no point in warning.
So, well, that's a biased approach. Okay, it's an interesting approach. We'll see Rava's and then we can discuss. Rava Amar, lo mahani midi. It doesn't affect anything. You're Makadesh, your sister? No, it's nothing. Nothing happens. But then, why do you get lashes? So according to Abaye, how could you get lashes if you didn't do anything? V'hai delake mishum da'avar ha'memer derachmanehu. Ha! You went against something. God said, don't do it. It's true. It wasn't effective, but God said, don't do it. And you tried to do it anyway. So, therefore, I don't care that it wasn't effective. You went against God's word. So it's a very fascinating, okay, what's really the difference here? Is it the act that's important, or is it the result of your action that's important? Abaye says, if there's no tangible results, then we don't really care that you did the action. The action's meaningless without the results. Rava says, what do you mean? It's the action that's important. You went against what God said. Who cares that you didn't do anything? So it's a very fascinating issue. We're going to get into a slew of questions against both of the shitot from all different sources.